appreciate you, and I know this congregation does as well, and we certainly invite you back at any and every opportunity that you may have to come and to be with us. I'm just going to tell you straight up, I'm kind of overwhelmed at the last 48 hours. Your kindness and your kind words and your hospitality, your fellowship, and the food yesterday and this evening and lunch with Eddie today. If y'all had a good preacher, I'd start attending here probably. But I do appreciate it. A good sister last night bought me some homemade chicken salad and croissants, and I went back to the room and turned on the football game, and there was no Connor and there was no Robin telling me what to do. It was very, very nice. But I want you to know that I appreciate that so very, very much. We begin on Sunday morning in Bible class, and we talked about the song Blessed Assurance. And we emphasize the course of that song, that this is my story, and this is my song. And we had to make absolutely sure that as we go all the day long, that indeed that is our story, and that is our song. Sunday morning in the 11 o'clock hour, the title of the lesson was, What is Your Story? We all have a story physically, how we got to Pulaski County, how we got to Wythe County. Where we came from, who we married, our children, our jobs, what brought us here. But we emphasize we also have a spiritual story. As Eddie mentioned last night, we talked about how to write a bad story. And we used the 10 spies from Numbers 13 and number 14 to point out that if you do those things, you're writing a bad story. Well, tonight we're going to talk about how to write a good story. If you'll go ahead and be turning to the book of Ephesians, and chapter 5, we'll be there for the majority of our lesson. The book of Ephesians and chapter 5. Kind of to help frame our mind for just a moment, let me show you a couple of pictures, and you think, is that a good story or is that a bad story? Is that a good story? You know, we think of one man, one wife, one lifetime. We think of children. We think of the home, which incidentally was instituted by God. And when we see daddy's doing what daddy's ought to be doing and mama's doing what they ought to be doing and children being brought up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, that's a good story. Is that a good story? Some of you may be thinking, it sure is. That's what we work for. That's what we plan for. We look to our future. Quite often it's the case, it may not come quick enough. But we look for that day when we can finally retire and rest from the physical labors that we've done. Be careful here now. Is that a good story? You know, in the lives of some people, it becomes a bad story very quickly because of that. Paul would tell Timothy, the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, now you've gone from a good story to a bad story. But using it properly as God would have us to do, understanding that all blessings come from God above, and that's not going to change, James 1 and verse 17. To use those things properly, certainly I think would indicate a good story. For our lesson this evening, what about this next picture? Is that a good story? It was in the book of Micah, chapter 6 and verse number 8, where the prophet said we need to walk humbly with our God. Tonight we're going to be in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5, and we want to read 15, 16, and 17, and then the 3 points of our lessons to take each of those individually for just a moment. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We may mention this thus far in each of our lessons. We'll make mention of it now. It's your story. Your story is your story spiritually. and mine is mine. And as we've used the illustration, you got the paper, you got the pen, you wrote it today. If you worked today, if you interacted with people today, if you spent the day with your family, your spouse, if you spent the day alone, you had an influence and you were writing your story today. I think this is very important. You have to learn how to write a good story. I don't know if our lesson last night, if you had to learn that much to write a bad story. Turn to God, or turn to your enemy instead of God. Fear men instead of God. And to become disobedient to God, it's pretty easy to do. It's pretty convenient to do. It has a lack of effect upon the minds of many people. And all of a sudden, their story, if it ever was good, is absolutely bad. I think you have to learn a little bit on writing a good story. Last night, I mentioned Brother Artis Hill at Freed Heart, and I had him for English Comp. And he used to tell us that writing a one-page paper, he would always tell us this, in the introductory paragraph, tell me what you're going to say. In the next part, say it. And in the last part, conclude what you just said. You know, there's a lot of trueness to that when it comes to my relationship with God. Let's talk about this for just a minute. If we were in English class tonight, the instructor may tell us, you know, when it comes to writing and the way we write, if we were writing a paper, you probably could divide it into four, maybe five different categories. Some of our writing is persuasive writing. We're trying to convince those who read it what our point of view is, or that our position is valid. If you read an essay written by a student, that is a persuasive paper. They're trying to get you to see what they see and think as they write. Another style of writing is narrative. You're sharing the information. You go to the bookstore or the library and you get a novel and you're reading a novel about the Old West. You're reading a spy novel. There is information about the setting of the story that the author is trying to tell you. There's another aspect of it, expository. That's to share information and evidence, not opinions. Textbooks are expository types of writing. The fourth one, descriptive. Poetry, some fiction books or stories, is trying to paint for you and I a clear picture. Now, I put this slide on there. What about my Christian story? Should it be persuasive? Should it be one that is a narrative? I'm sharing information. Should it be a story that is sharing information of evidence, not opinion? And should my story be one that creates a clear picture for those who see it? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, and verse number 15. If you want to write a good story, this is what you have to do. You have to walk according to a way carefully. There's a word there in verse number 15, the word circumspectly. Kind of a big word. We don't use it very much. I've used it twice today. One time telling Eddie a story, and I'm going to tell the same story now. My grandfather was building a little outbuilding or something on his barn. I was a teenager. I would go out and help him. He was up the ladder, and he would call down measurements. Cut this board 48 inches. Cut it 46 and a quarter. And one time he said, he was an elder in the church, he said, cut it circumspectly. I didn't know what that meant. I got a lecture over that too. I didn't know what that meant. You give attention to detail. It has to be exact. The measuring tape has little lines on there for a reason. You need to give careful attention to that. Let's go to verse number 15. How do you write a good story? See then that ye walk, giving great attention, to detail. In Matthew chapter 7, there was a way that was wide and broad. That doesn't take a whole lot of detail. It doesn't take a whole lot of discipline, a whole lot of structure. I don't have to give that a whole lot of thought. Why? It's wide. It's broad. It's easy. It's convenient. There's a lot of people traveling that way for that very reason. However, Jesus said, there's a way that's straight and narrow that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Why is that? It's circumspect. You got to give attention. You have to pay attention. There's a great amount of detail contained therein. Let's think about a couple of verses. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 7, Solomon said, "He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous." How do we walk? You know, we're going to read just a moment in verse number 17. Don't be unwise. There's that section in the book of Proverbs where Solomon lays a parallel between the activity of a fool and the activity of a wise man. What did Solomon say here in this verse? Sound wisdom. What is wisdom? Knowledge is a collection of facts. Our story has knowledge. Wisdom is the ability and the application of the facts that we know. Walk with detail. Walk paying attention. We also read in Psalms 86 and verse 11, David said, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth." Jesus prayed in the garden in John 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." John 8 and verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." What did David say to God? "God, teach me your way." I told you, you got to learn how to write a good story. "Teach me your way, O God. Teach me the statutes, the precepts, the laws, the rules, the commandments," those things mentioned in Psalms 119. "Teach me, God, and I will." Not a might, not a hope of can, not I sure wish, not if nothing don't happen, I will. David said, "I will walk in thy truth." Micah 6 and verse 8, we mentioned a moment ago. What does God require thee to do justly? To love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Now, having read those, let's go back to verse 15. What did Paul tell the church, the brethren at Ephesus? "See then that you walk circumspectly." Attention to detail. When I was in Africa, there was a denominational preacher that came up to me. He introduced himself. We talked for just a moment, and he gave me a little card. And on the card, it was with the typewriter, I think, but on the front of it, it said, "You matter." Thought that was kind of interesting coming from him. You matter. It's your story. You're writing it. We closed last night in Matthew chapter 25. One day you'll stand before God and give the account of the deeds done in your body, good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5:10. What is that? That's your story. Give attention to that detail. Your story matters within the eyes of God. Now, you may have a neighbor that it doesn't matter to them at all. Sadly enough, we may have members of our own family, extended, that it doesn't matter to them at all. But when I stop and think about what God said, when I stop and think in 15, don't walk as fools. That's wide and broad. That's careless. That's a lack of discipline. It doesn't really matter. But Paul said, you need to walk as wise. Before we leave this point, let's think about another verse. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6, you know 7. We walk in the light as he is in the light. That's walking circumspectly. Let's go back to 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, what did John say? We lie. Within those if verses at the end of 1 John chapter 1, he said the same thing in a different manner. He said, you deceive yourself. I've always thought that somewhat humorous. Deceive means lie. Think about the magnitude of that. Here's an individual who lies to himself and he knows it's a lie and he believes it. In verse 6, if you say you have fellowship with him. 7, if you say you're walking in the light and yet you live in darkness. You walk in darkness. Matthew 6, no man can serve two masters. What was John saying? That's not circumspectly. That's not walking carefully. You know, it's interesting. We go outside and it's come of snow or ice or whatever, and we tell other people, be careful. Or maybe we're walking, as I did this week, last week, week before last, I guess, in Chattanooga, Eddie. I got on the wrong street to go to the restaurant, and I had to walk through a kind of a shady area, and I told myself, be careful. Watch what's around you. What about spiritually? See, I'm writing this story. I'm among my spouse. I'm among my children, my neighbors, my friends. I'm among co-workers. I'm among strangers. And I got to write a good story. And I need to do it in such a way, carefully. One more point before we go to 2. It's not an easy story. Not easy at all. Last night's pretty easy. Forget God, push him out of the picture, pay attention to the enemy, start to fear man more than you fear God, forget what God has done, and that's a bad story. That takes very little effort. Our story tonight's a difficult story to write. And I think Ephesians 5 and verse 15 tells us that as we begin. Let's go to verse number 16. As I walk, as I write my story, I need to look for opportunities. Notice 16. Redeeming the time, using your time properly, using your time wisely, because the days are evil. Now, I don't know about you, but it took me a while to realize that's part of our story. We live, we mentioned on Sunday morning, we live in this generation of me and I. And it's my time, and it's my job, and it's my life, and it's my house, and it's my money, and it's my, and my, and my. I think this verse helps us to, by implication, understand something else. Redeem your time. Use it wisely, absolutely. Use it properly, absolutely. Think of a verse that's very familiar. Psalms chapter 90 and verse 10. David said, the days of our years are 70. A score is 20. 70 would be 70. But by reason of strength, 80. And then that verse ends with, our days fly away. I heard Brother Alan Webster use this one time, and it's in our lesson this evening. On the average, 70 are 40 by reason of strength. On the average, we have 29,000 days upon this earth. Now, you may be thinking, I'll never see 29,000. Somebody may be thinking, I've already seen it. I don't know. But think about that for just a moment. Today was October the 27th. It was 24 hours long. It's not over yet. And on the average, we have 29,000 of those. Let me ask you a question. How are you doing with that? How are you doing with that based upon Ephesians 5 and verse 16? For Scripture says, the Holy Spirit says, through the pen of Paul, that I'm writing my story and I need to use my time properly and wisely. And now to give us some idea.